Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lamberth. Today is Sunday, June 30th, 2019. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and on Podbean, the host site. If you like this show, please rate and review it on Apple Podcasts and or Stitcher. Give it a 5-star review. Let everyone know why you like it, because it will make me feel good about myself and most of the life decisions that I've made so far. You can email the show at mundanefestivalpod@gmail.com. Let me know what's on your mind. More importantly, what's on your heart? You can like the show on Facebook. You can follow it on Twitter at Mundane Festival. And you can follow me, your host, the guy talking to you right now, on Twitter at Chris Lamberth. This is episode 360. There's no guest. It's just me sitting here in my apartment. I've got Spider-Man Homecoming on mute. Super excited about Far From Home. A lot of good reviews are coming in for it. I was super impressed by the first one. I can't wait. I'm excited. So Tuesday after work, I'm going in, seeing it in IMAX. Not really the biggest IMAX. I think this IMAX that I go to at the Palisades Mall is like the ones that people sometimes call LIMAX. It's not the official. I think the only one in the tri-state area is, well, at least in New York. In New York, like in, there's one in Manhattan, and I think that's the one at the Lincoln Center AMC. But I'm super excited either way. I'm probably gonna see it twice. So I may try to see it in Dolby or something at a later date. But super excited to see it. Excited about Midsommar. But yeah, this movie was great. It was good. Tom Holland was great. But I've talked about this before. Zendaya, it was just like a small, low-key, star-making performance for her. And I was like, God, this, like, I had known of her, but I'm obviously not the demographic for all the Disney stuff she was doing. But when I saw her in this, I was like, wow, this girl, she's a star. And Euphoria, whatever people want to say about that show, like, as salacious as it is, like, she is killing it. People talk about, like, the script being not that great, or they talk about any of the criticism that they have, like, they can't say that Zendaya is not killing it. Like, she's the anchor of that show, and she's fantastic, and I hope she gets the career that some of these white young actresses get. I hope she gets to do a lot of cool stuff, and they need to put her in as much shit as possible. She's so good that she's got me wanting to, she's got me thinking about seeing The Greatest Showman. I don't know if I, she is in that, so maybe I'll check it out. I don't know how big her part was in that, but I will most likely give that a shot and check it out. I know I've been late and lax with this, with the main feed. It's just, I'm super busy, you guys. I got stuff going on. I'm trying to take care of the non-freeloaders of the show. There's stuff, you got content. I'm gonna most likely gonna drop something else, a little fun stand-up thing that I think will be neat. And I'll most likely do that soon. I'm gonna do it this week. I think that's all the house cleaning I got. I was talking about it on the Patreon episode. I think that I might do like take a mini hiatus. I'll let you know when and if I do it, but take a mini hiatus, get a bunch of guests, and do like a season of episodes, like bank some conversations, and then try to get you some shit. And if I were to take that type of hiatus, the Patreon feed would not die. You'd probably get more. I mean, I'm at least giving you two a month at this point. And two a month, not more, it. I'm two a month, if not more. So we'll see. We'll see what's going on. But I feel inspired to talk to you guys. I just don't want to put something out and half-ass it. You know, I've been doing this for 6 years, and it's kind of like, you know. I feel like the show's gotten better. So I want to talk to you when I have something to say, and I feel compelled to do so. But other than that, this past couple weeks, I did go see that Jenny Lewis in concert. It was great. I really love Northampton, Mass. I like small town America. I really do. I don't know why that is. You know, and I've always said it with the caveat, I like small town America. Don't know that small town America always likes me, but Northampton, Mass is one of those places where I feel like I would be accepted because there's a little bit of everybody there, and it's nice. I would say one thing about that I forgot to say in the Patreon feed. I will never understand this, and I think it happened, and I probably talked about this before on the show. I know I have. Like when you go to shows, concerts, or movies, the way people, like, there's just so much. There's like I don't know. It just seems like disrespect to me. Like people keep getting in and out of their seats and walking around while the show's going on. It's like, what the fuck are you doing? I always go back to, I was talking to my dad about this, how one time we went to, for graduation, one of my graduation presents, my dad got me a ticket to see Alicia Keys in Atlantic City and at the Trump Taj Mahal. That's before we knew, though, guys. That was 14 years before we knew. Actually, yeah, 14 years before we knew that he was going to do what he did to us. Or what? Well, he didn't do it. We did. America did. Anyway, you guys, hopefully you guys will get it right the next time. I don't know, man. Everybody's watching it. I'm taking it. This is a tangent. This Democratic debates. I did not watch it. I saw the memes and I saw like the little clips and stuff of Kamala Harris and Joe Biden and just, oh man, it was yeah, these guys are gonna Hunger Games each other, and hopefully we'll get a candidate out of that. We'll see. But whoever it is, if you don't want 45, it's gonna have to be one of these people, and that's just the nature of the beast. Yeah, and you have to live with it. It's like I saw where Melissa McCarthy is in talks, or if she's possibly gonna be Ursula in the live action Little Mermaid, and Black Twitter was like, we want Lizzo or Titus. That shit don't work like that. And they're like, oh, Melissa McCarthy is a 2-time Oscar nominee. She was one of my coworkers for 2 days. She was a scene partner of mine for 2 days. So I think I know what the fuck I'm talking about. Some of these people are just like brand new. I'm sure Lizzo or Titus would be a good Ursula, but you can't be mad at Melissa McCarthy being chosen. And I'm black actors all day, but you know, when you come to somebody that I've worked with, I'd like to think that I know what I'm talking about. Anyway, nah. But my dad took me to AC to see Alicia Keys, and people were just like getting up, and it was at a casino and everything like that, a casino venue and whatnot. But just the way people were just like walking up and down, it's just like, yo, she's singing her ass off. The tickets were like $80, if not more than that. They were at least like $80 or $90, and really expensive tickets. And people were just like getting up and walking around like she didn't fucking matter. Like a lot of other shows I've been to, the ones that are seated, people seem to like want to get up a lot. But I've noticed even at like rap shows, even at hip hop shows, people are a little more tamed. Like they're there for the show. They're in it. They're locked in. I don't know if that has something to do with people standing up. I don't know. I've been paying attention as opposed to them sitting down. Because the theater shows that I've been to, this Jenny Lewis show was a theater show and people were kept getting up. And I was sitting on the end seat because I like sitting on the end because I'm tall and I'm big and everything. And I just like having leg room and stuff so I could kind of stretch out if I need to. When I can help it, I like doing that. And this guy kept getting up. It's like, dude, watch the fucking show. If you didn't drink so much beer, you'd be able to sit down and enjoy the show without having to interrupt people. I get it. You want to drink and you want to have a good time, but like, yo, do that. You could do that after the show. You could drink after the show. I don't know. It's a personal thing. Maybe it's just me. I really don't like. I don't like having to go to the bathroom during movies, and I definitely don't like having to go before, like during a show. So I try to make sure, like I'm maybe that's a psycho neurotic thing that I have going on, but I just don't like people disrespecting the artist that's on stage. Like I told you one time, I went to see Rachel Yamagata at Webster, not Webster Hall. Oh my God. Bowery Ballroom in New York City. And, this opener, opener's on stage. Oh shit. Well, I know. Damn. I see his name. He had an album called Ghost Boy. Oh my God. I know his album. Cause he's got like different. Ah, shit. Fuck. That's gonna fuck with me now. Oh my God. Sanders Bulky. Really, really talented singer, songwriter. And I had never heard of this guy before, and I bought like his album after the show or whatever. And like, he was fucking great. And he's singing his ass off. This dude, like a nice, intimate moment. And this dude fucking picks up, like is talking on the phone. I'm like, what the fuck, man? You know, it's just annoying. Even I was watching Toy Story 4. This little kid kept getting up. I was like, dude, sit your ass down, young. I know he was a little kid, but it's like, yo, I don't know. I think maybe it's me. But yeah, I had fun at that Jenny Lewis concert. It was awesome. This week was pretty busy. It's been a really good week. I had a show. I'm doing comedy, guys. I do stand up comedy. Can you believe it? I was on a mini high I don't know, how do you call it? I just haven't gotten up in a week or two. And it's been like, it's kind of been actually a little freeing, but when you got to do a gig, you're just like, oh fuck. And I was just like, I just been off for a couple of weeks and I've kind of been, thinking like, can I even do this shit again anymore? Like, I love doing stand up, but it's just one of those things where it's like, oh, got to do this thing again. Cause I had it on the books. Summer's for a comic that's not when you're at my level, sometimes the summer can be pretty light and you don't have as many gigs, but I just need to get back more in the city and doing spots and doing bar shows that'll have me on and stuff. But because now I'm back feeling good about the craft. But anyway, I had this show in Point Pleasant, New Jersey, and I was like driving all the driving for the past few days, like driving a lot, And I'm like, oh my God, I got to drive all the way down to the Jersey Shore on a Tuesday. And I was kind of dreading it. And I was like, oh, fuck. So I get off work at 3. It took me 2 hours to get down to Point Pleasant this past Tuesday. And that was from Westchester. Normally, that's technically not a bad drive, not time-wise. And I was like, I got to drive back. It's over an hour. It's a little over an hour. So I get down there. I just went after work, and I went to see Child's Play 4 before the movie at an AMC down there. I guess that theater is relatively new because they do have the reclined seats, and they had assigned reserve seating and all that stuff, assigned seats and all that shit. So I don't know why the Garden State Plaza AMC doesn't do that, but whatever. Child's Play 4, it was entertaining. Like, it was cool to see Aubrey Plaza playing a mom. She's getting older, aging gracefully, still looking good, still doing her thing. Kind of seeing her do something a little different than you normally see her do, besides being like the sullen, sarcastic type character. But that's kind of like her. That's low key her default, but she was. I was listening to her in an interview on Dax Shepard's podcast, Armchair Expert, and she would say, "Yo, that's just what I got cast in early on, but that's not me." And I get it, but she was good in it. Brian Tyree Henry was good. Chucky just looked really creepy to me. He looked like just off the rip, not after he. I mean, he just looked really, he looked like a drug addict. And he was really creepy. you could tell, I think they filmed this movie in Canada because there was a black kid that was supposed to be a bully, but he was a bully, but he was just kind of, it seemed kind of off. He's like, hey, man, I can't do a good Canada accent. But you can tell that it was coming off as like Canadian and not as hard. Not to say that if you go to Toronto, you won't get fucked up if you're in the wrong part of town or, you know, you partake in criminal behavior. But it was just like, he was like, hey, man. I just thought it was funny. And there was a moment that pissed me off. There were two moments that pissed me off. And actually, at the end of the movie, I was like, okay, it's not that bad, but you did do a fucked up thing. So I was kind of like, fuck this movie. And it was the movie was almost over, like the latter half, I guess maybe the third act, if you will. I was just kind of like, man, fuck this shit. I mean, I know I went to this bitch to kill time, but I was like, fuck this movie a little bit. Nah, I was kind of mad. I was mad. I'm still kind of mad about it. And I was like, but it's a horror movie and anybody can get it. I'm going to just wait till, if I talk to somebody that's seen it within the next couple weeks, if I have them on the podcast, and it'll probably come up if we talk about movies. But I was just like, man, fuck this shit, man. But it was entertaining. Maybe they'll reboot it. Like it was sort of like he was like Buddy was like an AI, and it's like one of those it's like if Alexa was a doll, like a kid's toy doll and shit. And it's an interesting take. A lot of this stuff, when it comes to technology, sort of plays like a Black Mirror episode now, because that's kind of the template. And then now, people weren't that. I thought Black Mirror, this season 5 was decent. Now everything is sort of like a variation of a thing, or just like a certain theme. Where AI gets, I don't know. It's just, it was okay. Black Mirror season 5. It's just been kind of like variations on a theme. reasonable facsimiles of past episodes with just different actors in it. Yeah, it's there. It's fine. Like I'm not gonna say I didn't like. It's fucking trash. I'm not gonna say that. But Child's Play 2, solid. I did enjoy it. So after that, I go to this place called Jenks Pavilion, which is sort of like, it's on the beach, it's on the Jersey Shore, and it's fucking beautiful. It kind of has that old timey, like carnival feel to it. I had not grown up around that a lot, but when I was a kid, you know, we didn't really go to the beach like that. A lot of people went to the Jersey Shore. A lot of people went to Virginia Beach. I didn't start noticing all that shit until really I started doing comedy. I mean, I did a show, some shows down in South Carolina at Myrtle Beach, and I would see it from the car, but I never really took the time to like see how beautiful it was and like to really experience it. And now I'm telling you, like I did the shit now. Like my dad, my cousins went to Maryland Eastern Shore, and my dad used to take them to school and stuff. And I would ride with them, but we would see, you know, I still that's as far as I've been to like Eastern Shore, and haven't officially been to Ocean City. But a lot of kids in undergrad, they would go to Ocean City. Like I think the seniors would go like for a couple days or some shit, but I never. It just never really interested me that much, but it is really beautiful from what I've seen. And like even just going to Cape May, like I noticed how beautiful it is, but I just never really took it in. And it the way that I'm talking now would seem like that I did that past week, but I didn't. But I just noticed like during the show, like after I got off stage, like I went outside. Because the place where we did it was like at this bar that was kind of open onto the beach. It was open, it was enclosed, but you could walk out and be on the beach and like put your feet in the sand and shit. And I just kind of walked out and smelled the air of the Atlantic Ocean and all that shit. And it was really beautiful. It kind of put me in a good mood after. I was kind of like dreading driving back and being fucking tired. But I did all right, like getting back. Shout out to the homie Maranzio Vance, who his podcast, Just Killing Time, he did this. He had about a 2 hour podcast with comedian Eleanor Kerrigan, who is an LA-based comic originally from Philly. And they had a great conversation on the pod. And that got me like half the way down there. And it was just enough time to listen to that to get me back home. So shout out to the homie Maranzio Vance and Eleanor Kerrigan. Yes, that was good. And the show was good. Like I was apprehensive. I always have butterflies before a show, but I was like, oh, I haven't been up in a minute. And I was listening to some sets from like a couple weeks before this show, and I was just like, okay, figure out how to do this. And and I did fine. Like it was fine. Like I made them laugh. I did my job. It's one of those where it's like, did my job, don't have to feel bad about not giving my all, because I was a little my timing was a little shaky, but I did the job. They were laughing a lot, and that's all that you can kind of go for sometimes. And but I had a good set. Shout out to Ryan Mayer, thanks for having me on that joint, man. Shout out to him. I had a good time, and it just made it like, yeah. So I guess that place was like, I don't know if they filmed Jersey Shore out there, but it's like in that general area. And I had ordered a salad before I went on, and they gave me a plastic fork and knife. And I was like, is this because of Jersey Shore? Is this because people are animals down here where you can't get real, like real utensils to eat your salad with? But I think they just didn't want to clean a lot of silverware on a weeknight or some shit like that. I don't know. But yeah, it was cool. It reminded me. So now, you know, recently that place looked like the beginning of Us. Like, I guess that where was that? Like, was that Santa Cruz or something? It looked like the beach, and like it was a nice like pavilion. And I think if I was a little kid, I probably would have been more excited to be there, you know, if I was a parent or something. But I got to take more of that shit in, man. I got to start doing that because I do really appreciate nature and the beauty of, like, you know, I appreciate that shit from afar. I can recognize that something's like beautiful. Like even like the Finger Lakes, even like, what was that? What was Easter weekend? Easter Holy Week. I was up doing that casino gig that I talk about all the time. And the Finger Lakes are up there, and I should have just pulled the car over and just sat out there for a bit. I should have just did that. And that night, it was a big ass, it was like a storm later that night, and it was not as fun to do. So it was just like, I need to take more of that in. I think there was a time I told you all about doing a gig in upstate New York. Where was that? Was it Saratoga? No, it was like, I vaguely remember. God, it might have been 5 or 6 years ago. I did a show in Saugerties, New York. And I got there early, and I just took walked this path to this lighthouse. And it was beautiful. I think that was the one time that I did that, that really took nature in. And I got to make that a thing that if I get the chance, if time permits, that I take stuff in. I was thinking about all the people that are dying in the Dominican Republic. I was talking about that on stage last night, and just like, it's insane. Like these Americans dying, like, you don't have to do it. Just like go to Point Pleasant, go to upstate New York. Like people shouldn't, like, oh, like New York isn't just Manhattan, and Manhattan is beautiful in its own way. Like I still sometimes think, like, wow, I'm in New York City. I'm auditioning for stuff in New York City. I'm living my dream in this city. I'm filming something, or I'm doing stand up, or I'm going to see some theater. Like, it's fucking awesome. Like, it's incredible. But it's like, even like just traveling around this area, there's so much shit to do. Like, there's so much stuff you can experience, even like upstate, even like performing there in old theaters or any, I don't know, man. I just try to do stuff, and I can be so, like, you can be so anal at times. I'm going to speak for myself. You can be like, I'm going to go to this show, and this is the thing that I am experiencing right now. I'm going to see Jenny Lewis, and I'm not going to take anything else in. You know, I'm going to do this show. I'm doing this set, and then I am leaving. But you can't do that. Sometimes you got to stop and smell the roses, you know? So I need to make it make an effort to do more of that. Cause I really did like look at that stuff, like the Finger Lakes, and was just like, fuck. And I think I did take a different route that time when I was up there a couple months ago. And I drove through what's that school? It's an Ivy League. Oh my God, Cornell, because it's in Ithaca, and right, Cornell's in Ithaca, right? I don't want to speak out of turn. Cornell, it is in Ithaca, I believe. Yes, it is. Okay, So yeah, like I was driving through there and could see the lakes and everything, and I even like if I'd have stopped, I could have gone to this store, this sneaker store in Ithaca called Homegrown, and I've been following them on Instagram for years now, and I didn't put two and two together where I didn't have to buy anything, but I could have stopped and looked just to see what that store was like, you know. I don't know. I just need to do more of that. Do more of like just taking stuff in. Enough of me being a fucking Jack Frost and talking about shit, nature and stuff. So yeah, that show was fun. And this week, doing shows opening for Taylor Tomlinson. She's gonna be. I gotta put that the show that she's doing on my DVR. She's in a show. It's called, I'll get it. I think it's called What Happens Next, if I'm not mistaken. I will DVR this shit. What? Okay, it's called What Just Happened. And it's like, I don't know what, I think it's like a, I don't know what it is. I know she's in it, and, I'm going to support. But Taylor, I worked with her last year at Levity, and she's fun. Like, she's just like a really dope comic. Like, worked with her. She has her hours, like, different all the time. And she had, like, she's working with her this year. She's got a new hour, and she's constantly adding, like, layers and to her shit. And she's just really fun to work with, really fun and chill, man. So I'm having fun with her. And then that show, the show at the at Point Pleasant got me ready for this, because I was just like, okay, still want to do an album this year, trying to work out a venue. I think we'll see what happens. But when it happens, it'll come. But I'm still in that mode where I want to do stuff. So I'm like opening with newer stuff. With new stuff and trying to fit it in into the set, and just going for it and having a good time. And I really felt like reinvigorated about stand up, because sometimes you can feel not necessarily complacent, but you can just kind of feel like feeling like I got writer's block, and I just like pushing myself to be more lucid on stage. Something I've been doing for a long time. I think just coming out of being a theater person, you still work for being like trying to find new moments in your and stuff when you're acting, but like just being a theater person for so long, you know, you just have your script and you want to stick to that script. But being able to deviate and come back where it's like, it's all like those first moments of starting before you know you got to make these people laugh, and how do you get there? And yes, I'm just kind of having fun with that and experiencing that. And, you know, it's fun. I feel like I've had some good sets this weekend, and it made me fall in love with stand up again. Just having those moments that you can build upon. I was listening to tape your sets, people, even if it's just audio, because I was listening to some older stuff, like stuff that older sets from earlier this year. I was like, oh shit, that's a thing. Like, that's new. I need to fucking do something with that. And yeah, so I've been doing it, and the staff at Levity's not totally bored with my shit. Cause you know, like, I consider Levity Live to be my home club, and the staff is great there. And you're not doing the show for them, but I kinda am. To a certain degree. Like, it's like I told one of the security guys, I was like, yeah, I'm like working on my album stuff, but I'm just still doing new shit. And he told me after my set on the first after the first show, he was like, yeah, you know, yeah, I did see the news. How the new stuff go? I was like, yeah, he's like, I saw the set, it's good. Yeah, because he's a comic. Shout out to Eric Albert. He saw the set, and he's like, "Yeah, I know. Because when I came back, you're doing like your closer and stuff. I was like, yeah, yeah. I was like, but the new shit. Was like, yeah. So, feeling good about that as an artist. What was it? I had some other notes that I wanted to shoot. 35 minutes in. All right, folks, we're doing something here. I talked about people constantly getting up during shows. Wegmans is a money pit. Yes. Spent too much money at Wegmans on Sunday. Now, actually, I didn't, because I didn't have to pay for lunch. I didn't have to go anywhere for lunch on for Monday through Thursday. I went to Wegmans after my trip, as I was going home from coming back from Northampton, and I was like, let me just stop at Wegmans and get some groceries. It's kind of like Target, how you're just going in there for one thing and you end up spending like 50 or 60 bucks. I was like, I'm just going to get some yogurt and some cantaloupe for breakfast this week at work. And I get there and I get my yogurt, I get my cantaloupe. And I was like, I feel like Pookie in New Jack City every time I go by that wing bar. That wing bar is the shit. They have it's good wings. And it's like, if you're there, like, as Hooters, Hooters is like consistently good. But then Wegmans is good too. So it's like, and it's cheaper. It's cheaper, and you can get like different flavors. I mean, you can get different flavors at Hooters, but I mainly just go with the buffalo because I think they do that better, the hot wings. But at Wegmans, you got the Parmesan garlic, the standard issue buffalo wings. You got the Old Bay. It's like there's a teriyaki. There's a roasted one, roasted wings. Like, that's okay. It's not as good, but it's decent. But yeah, so I was like, I got caught up in that. And then I went to their deli, like their like prepared foods section. And I was like, you know, I never tried their meatloaf before. And the lady let me taste a piece of it. I was like, okay, that's not bad. That's actually good. So I got some meatloaf, and I got like two pieces of meatloaf. And then they had this thing they call chicken French, which is really chicken franchise. But it's like, that's what they call it at Wegmans. And I was like, you know what? I'm going with that. So I got like a piece of like one protein for the day. And I got some string beans, some seasoned string beans. And I got some sauteed greens. And so I had alternated like meatloaf and chicken French for 4 days. The only thing I didn't do, I didn't get a starch. I should have gotten a starch. I should have got like their little potato things. But yeah, that, like, I got that. And then when I got to the register, it was like 70 bucks. I was like, oh God, like I bought a lot of shit, but it got me through the week. Like, I didn't have to go, I didn't have to buy lunch from the cafeteria or anything. I didn't have to worry about that. But it was good, man. That shit at Wegmans is not bad at all. And I felt very satiated, and I didn't feel too, I didn't get the itis really after eating it. So that's important too. So I don't think I did spend overspent. I overspent on the wings, though. I didn't necessarily need those wings, but it was there because I didn't want to have to cook anything. But sometimes if you're in a pinch and you just want something, I just haven't been cooking that much lately. I don't know. But if you're just in a pinch and you that meatloaf is good, the chicken is good. Like I told you, I made the homies from the Firestarter podcast talk about Wegmans. Shit will, if you're a single dude, or a single woman, you know, but you know, But you know what it is? A lot of men that are married that I talk to, it seems like they do most of the cooking now. So I think that's kind of like a gender reversal or a gender myth that the women don't cook as much. I don't know. Let me not get canceled for saying that. I can get canceled for saying that a lot of men that I know cook. It's a lot of women that I've dated, they don't really cook. They can bake stuff, and it's sort of like, yeah, well, that doesn't count. That doesn't really count. I've dated some women that could cook. And some that I cook better than. One time a woman made me lasagna. It was good. But I think mine might have been better that I made. I only made lasagna once. That shit is hard. It's a lot. It's just a lot of work when you can just go to, like, I think I told you about this place called, this is really a fat boy. It's turned into a fat boy segment. It's a place called Uncle Giuseppe's. And I think there's just two locations. There's one in Ramsey, New Jersey. I feel like I've talked about this before. Ramsey, New Jersey, and there's one somewhere in Long Island. And you can get a lasagna square or whatever, and you pay about $8 or $9, and you add a salad to that. That's a meal right there. And it's really good. So it's almost like, why am I going to slave over a stove and do all this stuff and make lasagna when I can just go to a place like that and get it? Yeah, but I don't think I spent too much at Wegmans, but Wegmans can be a place like that where you spend, but I really like that store. What else? Psycho Dad at the barbershop. I went to get a shape up on Thursday, and so I'm, you know, in there, and there's like two people in front of me. There's a kid. As I get in there, there's a kid, little kid, maybe he's like 7 or 8 years old. He's getting a haircut. And the dad, he was just like, kind of like, yo, just make sure his line, you know, oh man, it don't look right, man. The line don't look right, son. It don't really look, y'all, son. Yo, son, that line don't look. And my barber's like, yo, like my barber was being nice and professional with it. I mean, I wouldn't go to somebody that like fucks up my hair. So I think my barber is good. Like, he's a good barber. And he's just taking it in. He's like, yo. And the dude, like, it's like, that guy's a fucking asshole. And I feel like, and it just, when you see somebody act like that, a parent, you kind of just worry about the kid. I think he loves his son. And I don't think he hits the kid. I'm not saying that, but it made me feel bad. Like, that kid's got to live with that dude that's being like really anal about his haircut. And I'm looking at the kid's hair. I was like, that's a good haircut. It's nothing wrong with that kid's haircut. And he made him like, it was just too long to be spent on this kid's haircut, where it's just like, all right. So they eventually leave, and come to find out that the kid had braids in his hair, and he had a huge like fro, and his hair was still wavy. His hair was kind of wavy because he had his braids taken out. And what my barber was saying, like, he needed to get his hair washed. And he needed to wait for a little bit and then get a haircut. And then his line and everything would be better. Because when you have your, I guess you have your braids or the Kawhi Leonard straight backs or whatever, your line gets, it's something, I don't know all this shit. But he was explaining it to me. And even as an older gentleman, like a senior citizen, older black dude, like an older black guy. Was saying like, yeah, you gotta wash your hair. You gotta do this. You gotta do that. When you wear your hair long like that, you gotta, you know, And it was basically that dude's a fucking asshole. I was like, what, you know? And it was just annoying. I hate to see that, and I hate for like that guy's gonna. It's like, well, dude, you fucking do it yourself. If you're gonna be that anal, just do cut your own kid's hair. Because this guy, the guy was bald, so it's just like, dude, you just do that shit yourself if you're gonna be that much of an asshole. You know, my dad was never like that. My dad was just like, yeah, give him a haircut. And then there was a time where being disappointed in a haircut where, like, I think I didn't want, I used to have a Philly because my favorite R&B group was The Boys. And then after that, it was like another bad creation. So like around junior high, I had the fade or whatever. And they didn't really like the kids to have a fade because they thought it would make them act bad. And I went to Catholic school, like they just didn't like that haircut. And it was a certain way that I had my hair that it was acceptable. And I just didn't. And I think I just didn't like when I had my hair long and the barber cut it off and I was sad, but it was still a good haircut. But one time I got a haircut from this guy and he made me look like I was in a Tuskegee Airman. Like I was, I had this old school haircut that I was like, I didn't really care for. But there's been a couple haircuts that I didn't like, but not that many. Most of the guys that cut my hair, they did a pretty good job. And women that have cut my hair. Yeah. But that dude was a fucking psycho. And it's annoying. And then my barber, he had gotten a PlayStation. He had a PlayStation 3 and is at the shop. And for some reason, he had the pause screen on. I was like, that looks like the pause screen for The Last of Us. And I was like, what are you playing? What's on your PlayStation? He said, this game, The Last of Us. I was like, oh my God, that's the best game ever made. And I was like, where are you at? And then I think at one point he was at the beginning and he said, no, I'm on this part. He goes to another save game. And I go to it. I'm looking at where he is and he's like kind of at the beginning. Still like the first couple of hours of the game. And he's like, I just can't get past this part. And it's a part where, like, people that have played the game, there's a couple of clickers and a couple of runners. And you got to kill them to get past this certain part. And because it was a PlayStation 3, and I still haven't played, I played through the game twice. But I really didn't remember where this was, but I knew that he was still with Tess. Tess was still in the picture. So I played it a couple times, and I was trying to get used to the controls because it's a PlayStation 3 and I have a 4. And I was I died like a couple of times, like a few times. And then I got it together and I finished. I said, yeah, I killed them. I killed them all. And my barber was laughing at me and the guy in the chair was laughing because the way I said it like I was that kid from the Wizard movie. Like I was just like really locked in and I got him past that little part that he was on. But I found myself playing for like 15 or 20 minutes, like really still getting invested in that game that I beat. But I didn't know like where I was trying to get out of the little place where we were. I just don't remember how to get out of it. But I did get him past that part to beat those clickers and shit. So I felt good. My self-esteem, because I was like, he said, yeah, this guy couldn't pay for a haircut. So he just gave me his PlayStation 3. And then he's like, yeah, this woman I'm seeing or whatever gave me a couple of these games. And she gave me The Last of Us. And I was like, oh, dude, that game is incredible. And he was like, he got sights. He was like, yo, I got to call her and tell her that you got past this part, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, man. So it made me feel kind of cool because I got past a little part for him in that game. So that was neat. Still no release date on that fucking part 2. I'm sure it's February 2020, and maybe they're doing, it's Paris Games Week. I think I talked about this shit before. Whenever they do, it's Paris Games Week 2019, Wednesday, October 30th through November 3rd. So I think if they make an announcement, it's most likely going to be around that time. And the game's coming out in would be coming out a couple months later. Anyway, made me feel cool that I got past the part in a video game in front of my barber and in front of other people. So that's like one of those moments, because like you can get like ridiculed if you get your ass beat in a video game, especially when it's a sports related game. I remember one time I had an 8 mile video. Like an 8 mile video game moment where I was playing. I worked at Best Buy when I was in grad school, and I worked in the like media department and whatnot. And I think it was like right before the store opened, or we had like a company meeting where we were playing NBA Live. I was playing against my manager or one of my old manager or something, and we were playing against each other, and he beat me. It was pretty close. But he beat me, and everybody was like, "Oh shit!" That was pretty neat. But I wish that I would have won that. But that was like fun. But I didn't feel embarrassed because I lost. But I just like, that's just one of those moments where you kind of want to prove yourself and shit. A couple more things, and then we'll get the fuck out of here. So I'm not proud of this. And because I live in the New York, New Jersey area, nah, you know what? No, fuck that. I get Pizza Hut sometimes. Sometimes when I get pizza, I get Pizza Hut or Domino's, and I use the app, because if you get points, you can get a free pizza. Sometimes you get a free pie. So it came time, like I was like, oh, I kind of would like some Pizza Hut. And I use the app, and I had like 260 points where I could redeem a free large pizza. And I go to the app, and I place my order, and it says your order is placed and whatever. You pick it up in 15 minutes. And then I get this email that says, your pizza, and it was going to be like, I think the pizza was like $2.50. And I was like, that bet, that's dope. And then I was like, oh, if it's only $2.50, I'll get some wings. I have a couple of wings and everything to go with my pizza. Cause usually when you get pizza, you eat half the pizza and you save it, and you can have another meal, another time during the week. And so I was like, bet, that's dope. So I get this email that says your pizza. Let me see if I can find this shit. Cause I was upset. I was livid. I'm gonna find it. Pizza Hut. Okay, it says, attention, your Pizza Hut order was not processed. And granted, I didn't use a credit card or anything. I was going to pick it up and pay for it in cash. So, and it says, unfortunately, we were unable to process your order at this time. We apologize for the inconvenience. Please call your Pizza Hut directly, blah, blah, blah. And it gave me order details, and it was like, and I don't know why they didn't want. And I thought I called, and I thought the woman was going to give me the pizza for the price that was on the email. And they were like, oh, it's $32. I was like, no, nah. I was like, I'm good. I'll come back another time. And I was just like, fuck it. And it really pissed me off. Like, you have these rewards programs, and then you don't want to give a motherfucker a pizza. And it's like, this company make so much money. It's a billion-dollar industry, and you don't want to give your a customer you don't want to give them like any type of what is Shay Mitchell in this, in some new show? I'm glad she's working. She just got pregnant. And good for her. I'm happy for her, man, because she's gone through some shit. So apparently she's in a, I got the TV on mute. She's in some show with these creepy ass zombie. Oh, The Possession of Hannah Grace. That's a movie, I think. I think that's a movie, not a show. But I didn't know she was in that. I'll watch it because she's in it. Still haven't seen her in You, though. Anyway, that really pissed me off. You know, I got mad. I was like, really? Like, you can't? Why don't you? Now, Domino's is good about that. Domino's is like, oh, yeah. If you get delivery, you just have to pay a delivery fee. Like, we're not delivering you $2 worth of a pizza, you know. You just have to order some more shit. If you're not picking it up, you're not doing carryout. But yeah, I never ran into that before. I'm going to try it again maybe, but that just made me say fuck it. Then I went to, actually my barber had recommended this place called Angelo's in Maywood, a local place, a local spot. And the pizza, I was thinking about pizza. I went in, I was like, you know what? I'll get a Philly steak and cheese. I was like, I'll do that. Like, there's a Jersey Mike's near me, and they have a good Philly steak and cheese. But I was like, you know what? Coworker told me about Angelo's. I'm going to go there. I mean, Barbara told me about Angelo's. I'm going to fuck with Angelo's. And it was an Italian joint, and I ordered one from there. And then the pizza was looking good in there. They had the Sicilian. Oh, my God. I got to go back to get a. Oh, this is really a turn into a fat boy episode. And I need to go back to the gym. And I ended up just getting a Philly steak and cheese, and it was fucking great. And the pizza looked good, so I have to get a pie from there at some point. But it's like, yeah, man, that's why I should just fuck with the local spots, man. It's a really big turnoff. Now I know people shit on, like, some of these, I always get on them. The black Twitter elite will tell you that Pizza Hut is not good or Domino's isn't good. But that shit is, it is good. It's good. It's good pizza. When you just want to use a coupon or you just want some, fuck it, it's a good pizza. It just really pissed me off, and I was angry about that, and talking about it right now makes me even more angry now that I really remember that, my feelings. So, you know, guys, all right, whatever, who cares? Nobody cares. Music. The only music I've been listening to this since it came out has been that Madlib and Freddie Gibbs joint, Bandana. It's really fucking good. I recently, like, I'd listened to Freddie Gibbs before, and I thought, like, maybe like 7 or 8 years ago, it was just like, wow, this Freddie Gibbs guy is fucking, he's legit. I always thought the guy was good. And this collaboration with Madlib, I'm just kind of late, and I tweeted this, folks, a couple weeks ago. I had just started to get into Pinata. That was a project that came out 4 or 5 years ago that him and Madlib did their first project together, and that's good. And I like Madlib. I was just never, because that was real indie hip hop, and I was in the beats and stuff that he makes and all the stuff. I'm not going to try to sit here and tell you that I've been a scholar of his work like that. I know he did a joint with Talib Kweli called Liberation. And I think I was still living in Chicago around that time. Like, it was like maybe 06 or 07, had some really dope records that he did with Kweli. And I think that's how I came to know more about Madlib around that time. So I always knew about the dude and knew that he made really good music and just kind of, you know, but this shit is fucking incredible. And I'm still like, I just been vibing out to that, listening to it. And of course, Crime Pays, when I heard that record, it fucking blew me away. Like that hook and the sample that they did. I was looking at it. I was in the green room last night, looking at the sample, because I use Crime Pays. Shout out to the homie Lafayette Wright, who was posting about it. He was really excited about this project too, and he was posting about it. I was like, yeah. I was like, Crime Pays is probably going to be my walk-on music this weekend at the club. And that's what I've been using. And that sample, it's a sample from this guy, Walt Barr, who has a song called, I think it's called Free Spirit. It's called Free Spirit. But the only thing is, they don't say it's the woman who sings the hook. It's uncredited. The woman's that's like, look to the sky and you will see. I mean, yo, like, she fucking murdered that, and she's not credited. And it's like, I could have went down a rabbit hole of listening to her shit. I think somebody that's a real hardcore hip hop person, hardcore musician, might know. I bet Questlove would know who that was. But I don't know Questlove like that. But I bet he would know. But that fucking sample is great. And the way that they tied it in, it's just fucking, I always think, like, hip hop, like rap music and shit, music in general, but hip hop even more, is so, like, when you had the sample and these soul track, it's just, it's fucking magical the way that they make this shit work. And this is a really good project. I think this might be the first record of the year, the first project of the year that I was really excited about. I think last year was, I can't really say that No News Is Good News, that was my favorite album of last year, but I was not anticipating that. I know the last time Fonte was on, he was talking about working on it, but when he released it, he talked about it hours before it came out. So he was just like, my No News Is Good News is coming out tonight. So there was anticipation, but I think he didn't release any singles or anything. So he was just like, my album's coming out. He Beyonce'd everybody. But for Freddie Gibbs and Madlib, like, there was promo. There was Crime Pays, and it's like, okay, they got this out. Oh shit, it's coming out in a month. Or whenever Crime Pays came out, maybe they made the announcement. It was just like, okay, I'm really looking forward to hearing this shit, because now I've been listening to Freddie Gibbs for a minute. I know he did a record on Fonte's album. So it's, and then he did his Freddie album. He did the Fetty joint with Currency. So it's like, he's been out there. And like, he's been out in the consciousness of people listening to this music and shit. And it was just like, yo, like, this, him and Madlib again. And it made me go back and listen to Pinata. And I was like, really psyched and super excited to hear this shit and all the cool promo stuff that Freddie Gibbs has been doing. He's a character. I really enjoy that dude, man. I like him. I like that guy a lot. And come to find out, he's 37. And it seems like a lot of those, like, they say hip hop is a young man's game, and it is, but I really like, especially, like, obviously, like Black Thought and Common and Fonte, like, you know, like those dudes, there's something that I appreciate. Like, I like that young man energy. Like, when I listen to a song, like, when sometimes you find out about artists, when I was finding out about new people from playing NBA 2K, and you're like, God, that motherfucker, like, you listen to some of these guys and you're just like, that motherfucker's hungry. Jesus Christ. Like, the way that they rap and stuff, it's just like, God, this motherfucker is like going for it. And there's just that type of energy too. And it's fantastic. But there's something about, like, just listening to, like obviously, Yasiin Bey, but for the artist formerly known as Mos Def, is on this record on Bandana called Education. And Mos Def is one of my favorite rappers of all time. He's, to me, he's one of the best. And when he's like really him, Mos Def fucking around is damn near better, is better than your favorite rapper most of the time. Just fucking around. But when he's focused, it's something about an older MC who's really good. It's just this poise that he has on the mic. And that's something that I was noticing about Fonte too on No News Is Good News, where just you just kind of have that poise. Some shit has happened to you. You're weathered. Even like, you know, my conversation with Van Hunt, just talking about just a person that's lived a life, that has experienced things, and the way that they command the mic, it's like, yeah, you having all these technical things work, but it's something about the delivery too that's just like, wow, that's great. It's just like that flow. Like Randolph and I were talking about a couple weeks ago, just like that water, that flow, and it's just everything is just working. Everything is clicking. And I felt like Mos had that. I'm gonna call him Mos. I'm not wanting this. Yasin, all right, man, he had that shit, and it was just, and then you get Black Thought, and then you get a guy like Freddie Gibbs closing that record out. And Freddie Gibbs is like, so since he's my age, he's like maybe a year younger than me, he would have been listening to people like Black Thought and Yasin when he was coming up. And to have him, like even like when Fonte did like his work on the Roots albums, like that had to be a kick for him. I'm sure it was. And I think he might have talked about it on the podcast. But like that made me feel good. Like he was kind of hanging with the elders. Or in a lot of ways he's a peer of those dudes now, but like rocking with those dudes, closing it out, holding his own with those guys. And I don't think I've ever felt, it's something about the, because that song is pretty somber in a way too. It's not like one of those like fucking like we rocking out, and you know, it's just like, it's called An Education. It was, I have to think about this a little more, but just off the rip, it was just one of those records that made me feel like, yeah, man, this shit. What's the record on Rising Down that Mos starts on? Like The Roots. I didn't know I was going to go down this rabbit hole. The Roots. I'm doing this with one hand. Rising Down. Is the record Hello, Hello, Hello? I know there's something even when it's just a track. Rising Down. Yeah, okay, that's the name of the record. With Mos Def and Styles P. And it was just like Mos Def starts off the whole out, like you have that powwow interlude type thing, but he was Mos back then. So he starts off that whole record, and it's just like this focus, this poise, and it was just like it just fucking, and that was like I think maybe a critic at one point said like that was like the verse of his life, like he delivered the verse of his life, and he just killed that shit, man. And it's a really dope song, man. It's fucking good, and the whole album is really good. And these are veterans, man, doing their thing, and it's inspiring to hear. Like I like the fact that people are talking about it, and it's a really cool project. Arguably one of the easily, you know, one of the better albums of the year right now. I mean, we're 6 months in, you know, 7 months in now coming. Yeah, it's really good. Bandana, man. I really dug it. There's a couple, maybe I'll talk about movies in another one, but talked about Child's Play. I was in a shit ton of traffic, Monday. And if those of you that are familiar with the New York area, now it's the Governor Mario Cuomo Bridge, but it's known to most as a Tappan Zee, and I think it'll probably be the Tappan Zee Bridge for a long fucking time. I think it's just going to be what it is. It was backed up. There was like some tanker explosion or something on the bridge, and they shut that shit down. And I was like close to the last exit before you have to cross the bridge to get into Rockland County from Westchester. And I was like, I'm just going to turn around and I'm going to go to the movies. And I looked at my phone. I was like, all right, Rocket Man. Haven't seen that. Went to one of my little movie spots, the Bowtie Cinema in Greenberg/Hartsdale, New York, and sat down and watched Rocket Man in the Elton John joint. It was good, man. I think like in a lot of ways it worked better than Bohemian Rhapsody, because I mean, Elton John's alive and he had input into the film. Excuse me. It was really good. I enjoyed it. I didn't know that much about Elton John. I know that my dad had a bunch of tape. There was the Shell gas station had this promotion where they had these classic rock songs from the 60s and 70s and even probably the 50s. They had like a collection. You can get these tapes, series of tapes that were released and whatnot. And Crocodile Rock was on one of them. And that's how I remember. That's my first introduction into Elton John. And then when Mary J. Blige sampled Benny and the Jets, that's how I knew. I was like, oh, that's an Elton John song. And that's all. I mean, and then Eminem was mad at him, or he was mad at Eminem for talking about gay people. And then they did a song together at some show. I just knew Elton John was like this flamboyant dude that played the piano and he was a good singer. And that's all I knew about him. So all this stuff was kind of fresh to me. And I like the fact that they made it a musical in a lot of ways. This dude, Taron Egerton, man, that's an acting motherfucker. He went there. There was a lot of gay stuff in it that people said, you know, were complaining about in Bohemian Rhapsody, where it wasn't really as gay as it could have been. It was good. I enjoyed it. So I recommend it. I didn't think I was going to get to see it when I'm in the theaters because I think I was doing something when it came out. I had tickets for it, but then I had to do a show or something like that, and I just never got around to seeing it. But the traffic got me to see it. I had some popcorn and watched it. I enjoyed that shit. I saw the movie Yesterday. That was the movie about, okay, I'll read the little blurb. Jack Malik is a struggling singer-songwriter in an English seaside town whose dreams of fame are rapidly fading, despite the fierce devotion and support of his childhood friend, Ellie. After a freak bus accident during a mysterious global blackout, Jack wakes up to discover that the Beatles have never existed, performing songs by the greatest band in history to a world that has never heard them. Jack becomes an overnight sensation with a little help from his agent. Really interesting, good movie. I like the fact that it was a brown dude, Himesh Patel. He had him a little white girl in the movie. This is one of the things about this, though, where it's hard to have suspension of disbelief when you... I like the fact that it was a brown guy ignoring his pretty friend that supported him, his pretty white friend. Like, I don't know what they could have done to make Lily James not hot, but I think she played Cinderella, I think. She was in Mamma Mia. She was in Baby Driver. And she was cute in those. Like, I saw Baby Driver and I was like, oh, yeah, she's a cute girl, whatever. Yeah, I would try to run away with her. I get it. But then, like, something about her in this one that made me like, oh, yeah, okay. I was like, okay, Lily James. Okay, young. I was like, all right. But it was something about her in this one where I don't think she was... Maybe she was less... Now, maybe she was less sexualized in this one, and it kind of made her sexy in turn then that way. I don't know. But she's cute, cute girl, cute woman. It's like she's this like beautiful friend, but maybe they... And she didn't have... The only thing was they could have done was put glasses on her, like they did Rachel Lee Cook, and she's all that. Like, he just didn't know that she was hot. Yeah, you didn't know. And then, like, but then a couple of other people in the film, one of the character that was, like, the comic relief, this guy named Joel Fry, he played Rocky. He was like, I would have shagged her every day. What are you doing? You know? He couldn't realize that. That's where it's kind of hard to have suspension of disbelief, but I get it. It's a movie. But it was sweet. It was cute. It was like very, it wasn't as dark as I thought it was going to be. I thought there were going to be these moments where it was really dark, but it's kind of like shows you how the record industry tries to use you. What's my girl? Funny girl, SNL girl. Kate McKinnon was really good at playing the manager. Ed Sheeran was in it. It's a very pleasant, light film. Like, if this is something that, like, I don't think you have to rush to see this at the theater, you know what I mean? I know Spider-Man's coming out in a couple days. This is a movie that if you saw it, you would enjoy it. You would be like, you would not, I don't think you would. I told a friend to see it and she was like, yeah, I walked out like 20 minutes, but she was having a bad day. So she was like, yeah, I walked out on that joint. I was like, what? I was like, oh man. But if you were to see this, on Netflix or something, you'd be like, yo, I like that shit. I enjoyed it. You know, it kind of gave me the same vibe as Juliet Naked, where it was just like really fucking pleasant. It had some heart to it. And there were definitely stakes, but it was like, yo, this is good. It's funny. I was trying to talk about that movie on stage, Juliet Naked, and I couldn't remember the name of the movie when I was trying to do this bit. I didn't know that I was going to do the bit, but I just ended up doing it. And I was like, oh, I don't remember the name of that movie. And so I just made fun of the fact that I didn't remember the name of that movie. But in a way, it really didn't matter. But to me, it did. But I made the shit work. Anyway, Juliet Naked is on Amazon Prime now. I just saw a couple nights ago. So it's there, and I recommend that movie. I think I talked about it. I'm sure I've talked about it last year. Rocket Man yesterday, Child's Play. And then before the show, so I saw that Friday afternoon before the show at Levity. And last night before the show, I went to a 4 o'clock screening of Anna. Anna is a, it's a movie. Beneath a woman's striking beauty lies a secret that will unleash her indelible strength and skill to become one of the most feared assassins on the planet. This movie was good. It was recommended by the homie Ba from the Firestarter podcast. I was listening to their show on Thursday, and Bob was like, yo, this movie's good. It's what Red Sparrow tried to be, what Red Sparrow could have been. And I was like, all right, I'll take that. And I know it's playing. I said, let me just go fuck with it and see what's good. It's made by the same dude that did The Professionals, Luc Besson. So, yeah, and I enjoyed that shit. Really good action, a lot of good swerves, a lot of little espionage and shit, you know what I'm saying? Really good action sequences. Yeah, I enjoyed it. I was going back and forth with Bao on Twitter last night just saying how, yeah, I appreciate that recommendation, man. That shit was good, and people would be missing out on it. Cause you're inundated with all these blockbusters and stuff, but again, like, if you're looking to go to the movies or something and you're just looking to have a good time, man, like, this joint is, it's official. It's a good flick. It's fun. And like I was say, if you want to go, maybe it's not going to be in the theaters for that long, but if you go see it, if you miss out on it and you see it when it comes out on Blu-ray or streaming, like, you'll enjoy it. You really will enjoy it. I wasn't that hard on Red Sparrow like most people were, but I thought it was good. Like, I like Jennifer Lawrence, and you know, it was fine. Like, Red Sparrow, like, I was entertained, but this one, which is a similar movie, they executed it a lot better. Yeah. So, what else did I want to say? I think, folks, that's it. I've given you an hour and 20 minutes. My God, I hope you can get through this. I don't know what I talked about, but I hope you enjoyed it. And I hope you, if you have questions or want me to talk about something or anything, you can email the show, mundanefestivalpod@gmail.com. Subscribe to the Patreon page. Support the podcast. There's good shit over there. It's 2 years worth of shit over there, at least. Good shit. You got some stand up. You got my failed voiceover audition. You got some conversations about movies and some good shit. So I hope you do that. Hope that you have a very safe and happy 4th of July celebration. One of those weird ones, because it's on a Thursday. So maybe you take that Friday off. Try to stay out of the heat, try to stay cool, all that good stuff. Happy Pride Week. Another thing, Pride. Well, it's been Pride Month, but I think today or yesterday was the big Pride Day. Two stories. I found out that this woman that I recently started to follow on Instagram is gay. And good for her, but not good for me. I didn't know. And it's almost one of, you know how you follow somebody on Instagram that you might could meet her one day? Like, you might could meet, like, you know, like a friend of a friend, and you could be introduced to her. And I was like, wow, this girl's cute and she's funny. She has a good podcast. And so, like, I'm on Instagram scrolling through, and she was like, yeah, you know, she posted a picture of her and shit. She's like, oh, this is my anniversary of being in New York, and it's also the anniversary where I came out. I was like, fuck! It's worse than when, because it wasn't like when I found out Ellen Page was gay. Because Ellen Page, you could kind of tell. But she was like, but I still think, you can still be, we were talking about this last night in the green room, how, like, yeah, like, somebody is gay, but like, you can still be attracted to that person even though they're gay and you're into them, but you just, you know, that she'd never be into you. And then another woman who's just like this really, I think she had a podcast at one point, and she's like a writer and she's beautiful. Black, these are two black women actually that I'm thinking about. And I saw her, like, she's just gorgeous, like, just fucking beautiful. And she had posted this picture of her and her partner. So, oh, I love you. And I was like, fuck, damn it. But happy Pride, everybody. Oh, man. Be who you want to be. Love who you want to love. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. I appreciate you. Talk to you next time.